Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and today is November 2, 2018. This is The Bible on Trial, brought to you by Spirit of Truth Ministry. We are delighted to have you with us today for our Bible study, and we encourage you to make use of the time by getting your own Bible out and being prepared to go from one text to the other as we put together, as Rick and the group puts together the topic for the day. I encourage you to go to our chat room, which is up and running. There you will find a list of four items: our official website, our original website, our mailing email address, and our mailing address. And you can get in touch with us in any one of those ways. We encourage you especially to go to spiritoftruthministry.net, where you will find a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church, by Rick Sterling and me, Dennis Neufeld, and a lot of quality writing by Rick Sterling on a number of topics, especially the grand plan. And I think that you would really enjoy reading that material. Let's have prayer, and we will get started with our study. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, thank you for granting us a day in which we can set aside a few minutes to study through your Holy Spirit the words of Jesus Christ that he brought to earth from God, and to make the effort to understand where we are in time and what is actually happening behind the scenes, so that when these events occur, we will not be surprised, but we will be able to function perfectly in order to allow people to enter the kingdom of heaven. I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Just a small aside. By the way, good morning, Dr. Don. Nice to see you.
Good morning.
Morning, Larry. And good morning, Rick, over there. And before I turn this over to Rick, I just want to make the statement that yesterday I went to a memorial service for a family friend who is the patriarch of a family who came from Germany, who was actually at the end of World War II co-opted into the Eastern Bloc. They escaped and went to Germany and then were sponsored into the United States, where they have lived since 1956. And the father passed away a few weeks ago, and we had his memorial service yesterday. The thing that is encouraging to me is that there are a whole bunch of people, I think there's more than we even realize, that really do love and appreciate what God has done for them in this world and are making a sincere and honest attempt to do what is right here so that they can enter the kingdom of heaven. I think that the family that we went to yesterday, that the memorial service and that we participated in, are these people. They are honest, hardworking, salt of the earth kind of people. And when they finally see it, when they finally are exposed to what we are talking about, and by the way, I did give one of them the Blog Talk Radio address so that he does listen occasionally. He told me that. And he likes what he's hearing.
Interesting.
So, what? No, probably not. That when they are exposed to what we are talking about, it will make sense right away. It's not going to take a long time. There's not going to be a massive amount of intellectual effort, because when it is explained clearly, they will see it and act upon it. And I was really encouraged yesterday. So let's get going with this, and we'll see where Rick is going to take us.
Well, I would beg to differ with you, Dennis. I would say let's see where the Holy Spirit is going to take us. And
of
pray
course.
That the Holy Spirit will be the one leading us to where we are going. Last Sabbath, I touched upon a touchy subject, one that you need to be careful when you're talking about it. And we were just discussing here this morning why that is. Why are we not able to have a informed, truthful, understandable discussion about what is going on with the world, in the world, without needing to be careful of how we may be perceived or understood? And the only answer is the best answer, because that is how the kingdom of the dragon protects itself.
Whereas the great deceiver is not called the great deceiver because he's not good at it.
The great deceiver is not called the great deceiver because he's not good at it. God has a plan to defeat the rebellion, to create this world anew, and to move his throne from where it currently is to this earth, because this earth will have experienced something never experienced before. While it is true that the planet that God dwells on, where his throne is currently, has experienced rebellion, the rebellion was between spiritual beings, the Creator, God Almighty, and a group of rebels that he had created, or they had created, at some point in the far distant past. But they were spiritual beings, and they had their birth, so to speak, the day they were created, was in the heavens on this planet where only spiritual beings dwelt. This earth had beings of flesh and blood created on it. The spiritual beings who rebelled were the ones sent here to teach these flesh and blood beings what they needed to know to be able to live and thrive on the earth. They were deceived into believing that these spiritual beings were their gods, their creators, and they worshiped and obeyed them. The plan that Elohim have for defeating the rebellion directly involves the work of flesh and blood, which is the main reason why the Son of God, who was not a flesh and blood being, who was not a created being, he was and is a spiritual being who was given a flesh and blood body when he was born of a woman. And he did that for several reasons. One of them being that in order to be the king of flesh and blood beings, he needed to be flesh and blood. Or it would work for him to be flesh and blood. I am not going to get into all the reasons why this had to take place, because what I am mainly talking about is the two plans that are at work here. There is the plan of the kingdom of the great red dragon. The kingdom is not a dragon, but it is symbolized by a great red dragon. The kingdom of God is symbolized by different symbols, but pretty much they are described as they truly are. That is, people. People of every tribe, tongue, nation, and they are depicted as being born. We are born when we enter this world. We are born from this world, and what Elohim has made very clear to all who are paying attention, that just the fact that you are born into this world and then say that you believe in God is not what will get you into the kingdom, his kingdom. The only way you can enter the kingdom of God, which is a spiritual kingdom, is by being born from above. You must be born again from above, not from below, from this world. The way that God accomplishes this is similar to the way he worked when he created mankind. He created mankind and he gave them teachers to teach them what they needed to know to live and to thrive. In the language used, subdue the earth. What that means is just keep control on the earth and don't let it get out of control. So in this case, Elohim is teaching people who are willing and open to learn the things that they need to know to live in the kingdom of Elohim. That's what we are talking about. The kingdom of the dragon, which is the ruler of that kingdom, is the ancient serpent from the garden of the paradise of God, also known as Satan and the devil. He has a throne, and what that means is that he is the ultimate ruler of the kingdom of the world. He set up the kingdom of the world, and he brought the created beings into his kingdom through lies and deception. God brings people into his kingdom through truth and reality. How the devil has managed to keep, and how he still manages to keep people from leaving his kingdom, is by making them believe and making them certain that the truth and reality that God has shown us is in fact lies and deception. And the truth and the reality is where you are right now. The mind is the spirit. I've had some people take issue with that. They think that there is some kind of entity living inside of all of us. The entity is either righteous, and then it is the Holy Spirit, or it is wicked, and it is the spirit of the devil. That's what the spirit is. Some believe that the spirit in us is holy, and our flesh is wicked, sinful. They get that from Paul's teaching. Paul is very clear that to die to the flesh is to live to the spirit, that your righteous spirit will be released when you die. Paul says if he assents to do what his spirit is telling him to do, but ends up doing what his flesh is bound and determined to do, that he's not held accountable for the things that the flesh does, because he wants to do the things that the spirit wants him to do.
And the flesh makes it simply impossible to do that. So you're not held accountable for it.
So your ultimate salvation is when you die. When you die, spirit's released. Where was the spirit of Adam living before God formed Adam?
It wasn't.
Where was the spirit of mankind existing before God created mankind?
It wasn't.
It wasn't.
It wasn't. It just wasn't there.
I will tell you one thing for certain, that up until this point, a spiritual being has a creation, you could say a birth. Their creation does not involve any created material from a planet or a star. When God created the angels, he created them as spiritual beings, and as spiritual beings, they never die. And they cannot kill one another. The only way a spiritual being can be, quote unquote, killed is in the manner that they were created. So the one who created them is the only one who can destroy them.
Rick, how is dark matter contained?
Dark matter doesn't exist.
How is, what, okay, how?
It's matter. Matter is contained through a magnetic field.
That's exactly, okay, that's right. Okay, so could be possible that these spiritual beings exist inside of a containment capsule of some kind,
well,
a magnetic field.
They exist in a magnetic field.
Right.
Which is why when, you know, ghosts, quote unquote ghosts appear, the lights seem to flicker, car engines stop, it's because of the magnetic field that is being, that's disrupting the electronics and the electrical system of what they are in the vicinity of. In Genesis chapter 6, starting with verse 5, Yahweh saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that the thoughts in his heart fashioned nothing but wickedness all day long. Yahweh regretted having made man on earth, and his heart was grieved. I will rid the earth's face of man, my own creation, Yahweh said, and of animals also, reptiles too, and the birds of heaven. For I regret having made them. But Noah had found favor with Yahweh. Noah had found favor with Yahweh. Why? Was Noah's spirit righteous? There, we are given a couple of different types of being in Genesis 6. One is called Nephilim. We find this in verse 4 of chapter 6. The Nephilim were on the earth at that time and even afterwards. And even afterwards, when the sons of God resorted to the daughters of man and had children by them. Who are the Nephilim, and how did they survive the flood?
Well, there's a couple of logical explanations, if you're willing to consider them. That is, they left the earth.
How did they manage that?
Well, again, another logical deduction might be...
Well, that's just not something that we're supposed to understand now, but when we get to heaven, oh, we'll understand. We'll be all told all this stuff that doesn't make any sense. That's when we'll understand it.
Well...
Well, if you don't have a Saturn, it keeps you from getting to heaven.
Would it be...
Well, that's a ridiculous statement.
You know, it is possible. And by the way, the technology prior to the flood was amazing on the earth. So maybe they had flying craft or spacecraft that could take them outside of the earth's orbit.
In Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, we read, Yahweh said, my spirit must not forever be disgraced in man.
That's an interesting
question. Now,
what is the chapter verse?
6:3. My spirit must not forever be disgraced in man, for he is but flesh. His life shall last no more than 120 years. When he says, my spirit, that word spirit is breath. In fact, in your Bible, it may say breath. It is the breath that God breathed into the males and females when he created them on the sixth day of creation. It is the breath that he breathed into the flesh of the earth man, Adam. The breath of the Creator breathed into the dust of the earth and, you could say, the dust of the earth became aware, became conscious of their surroundings. God did not pluck a spirit out of space and entrap it into the body of flesh that he had just created. When he breathed his own breath into the body or the bodies that he had just created, they began to breathe, their organs began to function, and they became aware of their existence. The Nephilim apparently were also born, but they were born from some type of combination, some type of intercourse between the spiritual beings called the sons of God, the angels, and the created flesh and blood beings, the women, the daughters of man. And together they produced offspring, which here are called Nephilim. Nephilim we also find in the book of Numbers, when the 10 spies came back with a bad report, they said, and the Nephilim are in the land. Part of the Nephilim are the sons of Anak. They were called the Anakim. I wonder if that is a transliteration of Enki that you find in the Sumerian account of the gods who came to earth.
What did the spies call them again?
they said Nephilim, but they called them Anakim. A N. Was it?
A N A K
I M.
Yeah. The Numbers verse there is 13:33. Numbers 13:33.
What the devil has done is he has maintained a priesthood from the very inception of his rebellion, a priesthood among mankind. This priesthood has controlled the world according to the will of the evil one. They teach the man of earth of worship and homage and information. And they verify and validate this through magic and deception. This is all starting to become more and more out in the open now. And there's good reason for that. And when I say good, I'm not using it as good as in right or righteous. I'm saying that there's a good reason that we are seeing this now, because the devil is ramping up his activity, knowing that he needs to forever maintain his advantage, so that he can deceive the maximum amount of people. He would love it if the people of earth, all of them, would fall for his deception. He's been working for hundreds of thousands of years on his deceptions. He knows the inner workings of the mind of man, and he knows how to manipulate it and control it. In Revelation chapter 12, starting with verse 13, as soon as the devil found himself thrown down to the earth, he sprang in pursuit of the woman, the mother of the male child. But she was given a huge pair of eagle's wings to fly away from the serpent into the desert, to the place where she was to be looked after for a year and twice a year and half a year. So the serpent vomited water from his mouth like a river after the woman to sweep her away in the current. But the earth came to her rescue. It opened its mouth and swallowed the river thrown up by the dragon's jaws. Then the dragon was enraged with the woman and went away to make war on the rest of her children. That is, all who obey God's commandments and bear witness for the Son of God. I've had people tell me that this woman cannot be the Holy Spirit, because how can the devil persecute the Holy Spirit? Well, let me ask you this question. This may be a good question, maybe it isn't, I don't know, but to me it seems like a good question. The Son of God had good questions. I don't know if I can find it right away, but the Pharisees had asked him a loaded question. And I can't remember.
Just give me a keyword and I'll... You remember the text?
Yeah, John.
Look up loaded.
John. John the Baptist.
Okay.
Was he from God or from...
Oh.
Man. And they asked him this loaded question. So he said, look, I'll answer your question. But first, I want you to answer my question. The John the Baptist, from whence did he come? Was he from God or from man? His message. So the instigators get their heads together and they say, you know, now if we say that it is from God, then he'll say, well, why didn't you listen to him? And if we say from man, the people will all get upset because they believed him to be a prophet. So their answer was, well, we're not sure. And he said, well, then I will not tell you the answer to your question. Then they were very careful about what they asked him before. The Sadducees, of course, had asked him about divorce. They were trying to get him into a corner and trap him. Now, of course, Paul will tell us that God got himself into a corner, and the only way he could get out of that corner is to kill his son. Now, that's already been covered. So the Sadducees give this hypothetical situation where there's a woman who's married and her husband dies, and so by right she can marry his brother so that she has an inheritance, and he dies, and there's an... So anyway, there's seven brothers. She ends up being married to seven brothers. So the question is, in heaven, who will her husband be? Well, her husband in heaven will not exist because he said in heaven, you'll be like the angels, neither marrying nor giving in marriage. The Pharisees asked him about divorce. And they said that Moses allowed them to give a writ of divorce. And the Son of God said it was never in God's plan for divorce, that the man and the woman would be married and they would become one flesh, and only death or adultery would separate them. So here's my question. Is Jesus the Messiah, the one who came to earth, was born of Mary, started his ministry when he was baptized by John the Baptist, did many miracles, taught the people, and ultimately was put to death? Was he persecuted by the devil at any point in time during his ministry?
Well, that depends.
Indirectly. Through the leadership of the people he was having to deal with.
I can think of a time when they wanted to throw him off of a cliff. I can think of two or three times when they were picking up stones to stone him. Should I go on? To say that it is not possible for the dragon to persecute this woman in the wilderness, you would have to say that it was not possible for him to persecute the Son of God while he was here on earth. What is persecution?
Interference with the way you, with what you're trying to accomplish or do.
Was he not working very, not only with the Sanhedrin, the priests and the scribes and all of those, he was working with the disciples. And the family, the Mary and James and Jude, these brothers and his mother, through whom the Son of God was born, they were certainly not helping him in his ministry. In fact, they were quite embarrassed of him, and John tells us that the brothers were trying to get him to go to the Feast of Dedication, knowing full well that the Jews wanted to kill him, and that was fine with them. Then this blotch on their family would be taken care of and removed and gone forever. Who was persecuting this? Who was the one directing all of this activity toward the Son of God while he was here? If it wasn't the devil was persecuting the Son of God through his influence over the people and the religious leadership.
By the way, that the text that you were looking for is found in Matthew. The entire story there is Matthew 27 through 33.
Chapter
11. 20. March 11. I mean, Matthew.
Matthew 11.
Excuse me.
Matthew 27.
Excuse me. Mark 11, 27 to 33.
So, how would the dragon persecute the woman, the Holy Spirit?
Mark doesn't have 27 chapters.
It's 11.
11,
Mark,
27.
Mark 11, 27 to 33.
Okay.
There is one in Matthew, too, and I'll see if I can find it and have it for tomorrow. How is the dragon going to vomit up water to sweep the woman away?
Matthew 21, 23 to 27.
Matthew 21, 23 to 27. Thank you. How, I mean, this is my question. There are several ideas of whom this woman is. We can rule out one right away. She is not Mary because she is still alive at the end of time. She is living in a wilderness. She is not Mary. Well, some say she is the church. So here's my question. You say that the Son of God came here to start the Christian church, although you will not find that anywhere. That's the belief. Well, if he came here to start the Christian church, because, you know, Christian is Christian or follower of Christ, if the woman represents the Christian church, then how is it that she gives birth to Christ? Now, I've heard that, well, this wasn't Christ. Well, who was it? Well, it was the church. So the church gives birth to the church. And what is the church? I mean, is
it's
it
an assembly?
Is it
just group of people.
So it's the members. So the church gives birth to the members. But who are the members? The church. So the church gives birth to the church.
And so who are the offspring at the end?
So you see, this makes absolutely no sense. Well, some say, well, this is Israel. She represents Israel. Well, we know that the Messiah took the kingdom mandate away from Israel. And they were no longer involved. This is what I've been talking about for the last few weeks, is that this was a fatal wound that was inflicted, and now we see here that today the fatal wound has been healed, but not by God. By the dragon. So if the dragon is reinstating a kingdom that God has pulled the plug on, how can the woman represent this kingdom that God pulled the plug on? And the dragon is persecuting this woman, and he's trying to get rid of this woman when, in fact, he's the one who has put this whole thing together. There is only one understanding of who that woman represents. And it is the Holy Spirit, whom her son promised the disciples that he was going to send when he went back to the Father.
And remember, much of the belief of who this woman is stems from the overarching belief in how Paul views the plan of salvation. If you decide that this woman is not the Holy Spirit, if you have decided that this woman is something else, would that not then reflect on how you view... Oh, look, my wife, when I first told her this years ago, I said, do you know who this woman is? And she said, I don't know, I don't even care. And I said, well, have you ever thought about what it means to go to your girlfriends and you can talk over problems with them that you can't talk over with me? You know, I'm a man, and sometimes it's better to talk to a woman. Yeah. Well, do you think God doesn't know that? Do you think God doesn't have a part of himself that a woman can talk to, that a woman can relate to?
Mother.
It's the mother. Right. And she literally opened her mouth, was like, huh, wow. So I can pray to God and know that God hears me as a woman, not just as a sympathetic man, but a woman who understands my issues. And I said, yes, that's one of the byproducts of this. So people who have told me, oh, you know, this can't be a woman because, you know, God is, you know, the family of God is all he's, hims.
Yeah, they're all men.
They're all men. They're all male figures, masculine figures, are actually the same, of the same misogynistic stripe as was Paul.
Well, and the whole quote-unquote church. The Christian church.
Yeah, the Christian church at the beginning was totally misogynistic,
and
it still is.
Still is. So there's a lot of questions that would need to be answered, that would need to have an answer, if this woman is not the Holy Spirit. If the woman is the church. Now, I've already given very good reasons why the woman cannot be the church. But here's another one. Who, in fact, has set up the church? The churches that we have today. Who is the one who has set forth a concerted effort to make sure that there are no churches in the world that are at any place putting the kingdom of the dragon in question or in peril of being defeated.
And exposed and defeated.
What church?
There is none.
There isn't any.
Right.
So the dragon efforts, the kingdom of the world, and the dragon represents the devil and his spiritual beings who are working to direct the kingdoms of the world, whom they control and whom they have authority over. If the woman is the Christian church, then why is the dragon attacking a church he started? Why is he trying to get rid of a church he started? And that he is using to deceive the world? The same thing you say, well, but that's not true. The dragon has no authority over that woman. You can see it. You can read it right there. Wait a minute. The only way that you can read it right there is if you believe that that's the truth of what this prophecy is saying. I'm calling that into question. The woman, first of all, is in the heavens when we see this. She is in the heavens when she gives birth to the firstborn. It is later on that she's here on earth. And if you say that she represents the Christian church and the Christian church is the one that's exposing the dragon as the dragon, as the devil, and that's why he's trying to get rid of her, then my question is, did God establish the nation of Israel?
Well, if he did, then Jesus lied when he told Israel, I am taking the kingdom away from you and giving it to another. And in Daniel 2, you do not see a reestablishment of the original kingdom
of the
ever.
Israelites.
They got two chances. There's no reestablishing of it anywhere listed in prophecy.
And in the parable of the vineyard, the Messiah refers to them as tenants. Tenants. Why would he call them tenants?
They're not family.
Because they didn't own the land. You go back to when they entered the promised land, and he is very clear. I'm not letting them in here because they deserve to be in here, and they are my people. I'm letting them enter the land because I made a promise to Abraham, and I am keeping my promise. So they were always tenants in the land. That's why it was taken away.
And you see, they came to the misunderstanding that they were the owners of the land.
Yeah, and they were the kingdom of God.
And that they were the kingdom of God.
So the saying that the children of Israel, when they entered the land, were the same as this woman, then you would have to say the woman is corrupt. Because the Israelites were corrupt from the time they entered the land until the time God kicked them off. And when I say corrupt, I'm not saying that to a man and to a woman they were corrupt. I'm saying as a nation, corruption directed what they did. There were people in Israel who were not corrupt. There were many people in Israel who were not corrupt, but there were not enough, because Israel needed to be 100% righteous, and that they never were. And the reason they never were is because the religious leadership was controlled by the kingdom of the dragon. And they were controlled still by the kingdom of the dragon when their king, their promised king, came, and they plotted of how they would murder him. So to say that this woman represents Israel would be to say that this woman represents corruption. And she does not represent corruption, because the kingdom of the dragon is trying to get rid of her. This woman represents the righteous, holy, pure Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit. She does not give birth to corruption. She does not give birth to sin. She does not give birth to unrighteousness, lawlessness, wickedness. She gives birth to righteousness and holy, period. Her firstborn son is the firstborn son of God. And then at the end, she has more offspring, the last of her offspring.
And these offspring are not corrupt. They are righteous.
They keep as the commandments, and they hold to the testimony of the Son of God, their eldest brother.
Correct.
They are born of the same mother that he was born of, the one that he told Nicodemus, except a man is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you all for being here today. I encourage you to join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. I also encourage you to go take a look at our website at spiritoftruthministry.net and go to blogtalkradio.com/SOT, where you can download a multitude of our programs and podcasts. So on behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis Neufeld saying, so long for now. We wish you a good day, and we'll see you all tomorrow.